Welcome to the Connect with County Leaders podcast with your host, Brian Hill, County Executive of Fairfax County, Virginia. Connect with County Leaders gives listeners the opportunity to hear County Executive Hill discussing the county's opportunities, priorities, and issues with leaders from around the county.
Hello and welcome to Connect with County Leaders. I'm Brian Hill. On this edition of the podcast, I am joined by Dr. J. Stephen Jones, President and CEO of Enova. Dr. Jones, welcome back.
Thanks much. Great to be back. Good to see you.
You know, I say welcome back because you have been on the podcast with me previously. For those viewers that don't know this and haven't caught these episodes, you have led on Enova, since 2018, and we have been successfully partners since then. Things have evolved during and after COVID, but our teamwork has remained steadfast. What is the key to a successful relationship between Fairfax County and Enova?
I'll actually go back and reflect on when we met before. There was a lot of COVID discussion. I'm just grateful that we're able to be a little bit in that, not fulfilling all of our focus, but certainly still some. I think the key to the relationship is indeed it is a relationship. It's a partnership. We got a deep partnership, some of which is, for example, on some of our campuses. We got a deeper partnership on how we take care of our community. You know, we have a county government that has, I think, demonstrated the ability to take care of a community better than anybody that I'm aware of. And Enova has demonstrated the ability to take care of the patients better than anybody I know of. And if you think about that, even, for example, the folks that you have who go out to people's homes to bring them into our care, that partnership, not only that piece, but us educating them and helping them to be prepared to be at the top of their skills is a key part of that. But it really is the partnership between us, and I think it starts at the top. The fact that you and I will lead together is helpful.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. And when you go back to COVID, I do remember the amount of times that you and I were on a telephone together. Now, mind you, people don't know this about us. We typically on a quarterly basis have dinner together. We just talk and chat, talk about our children and all these things. But during COVID, it seemed like I talked to you every day.
There's a lot going on. A lot going on. Those weren't always fun conversations, but because we were working on some hard stuff together.
Yeah, and I remember one conversation in general. I said, "Sir, do you have any COVID vaccine shots?" And you said, "No." And I said, "But sir, we need COVID vaccine shots." I know that, Brian. We all need COVID vaccine shots. But then you and I got on a phone with the governor's office, and miraculously, now current mayor of Richmond, shipped us vaccine shots, and we were able to do our mass vaccination, and that is because of your leadership. But I do want to say thank you for that, because I will never forget those conversations, and it really made me feel good to be a partner with you.
Thanks. It was frustrating because we knew that we could take care of our community, but we needed what we needed to take care of the community. So getting those vaccines in place was really critical to us being able to pull through.
Well, now we have some exciting news. From what I understand, you were recently recognized by the Joint Commission with its inaugural Award of Excellence. And I've known you've been excellent since 2018. If I would have known you longer, I could say that as well. But, with that award, it builds on Enova's recent national recognition as the Press Ganey Health System of the Year. Any thoughts on that award, and how are you going to get another award?
Well, I, first of all, I'm humbled because I realize that when the CEO of an organization gets an award, it's not about that person. It's not about me, Brian. It's about 26,000 people who deliver that excellence in care. And the Joint Commission, for those of you who don't know, they are the body that actually certifies all the health systems in the country. So they are not easy graders. So to be recognized for excellence by them, we take very seriously. And it ties to our recognition as Health System of the Year by Press Ganey. Same thing. Based on data, not based on ads or reputation or relationships, based on delivering the best care in the country.
Well, data-informed information is always great, and you've been a steadfast in making sure that we've understood what's going on in the community. And to this day, I still say thank you for that because, like I said, our conversations are always enlightening. I won't say they're always good, but they are enlightening.
Yeah, I think the deal, leaders have to have those hard conversations to really make hard things happen. And whether it be in those hard moments where I remember, I think it was on a Saturday morning that you're referring to when I dialed your phone, and we had many of those, but really through that leading together. And I just want to thank you, for example, bringing us to the Board of Supervisors to be recognized as Health System of the Year. That meant a lot. We appreciate it. Our team really got value about the fact that our county government stands behind them.
Yeah. Well, we do. And, you know, the chairman of the board is on your board, and he said, we are bringing them forward. I said, that's a great idea. But, you know, as we talk about the Board of Supervisors and all the things that you and your group do, you're also doing a little bit of construction work in the Springfield, Franconia area. Could you give me an update on what's happening in that hospital system as we continue to grow?
Oh, man. So our hospital in Alexandria is an aged facility which is not up to the care that's being delivered there every single day. And we had to replace it. It's just an aged and can't be physically replaced. So it gave us the opportunity to rethink how we provided care. So we made a recommitment to the city of Alexandria. We also were able to be able to expand in Springfield, Franconia. So both those hospitals are growing up. I'll tell you, to our knowledge, it's the only time anybody has ever broken ground on two hospitals at the same time. And as I say, I promise you it's the last time I'm going to do that ever again in my career.
Are you sure about that?
Well, the need is immense. And in fact, I was in Nova Fairfax Hospital this morning in the emergency department, where we are at this moment. First of all, I think you know we're the third busiest emergency department in the country. Mm-hmm. And I was there. We're actually working hard to get that replaced and expanded. We're partway through that. But knowing that those volumes of patients coming in right now, that's why we have to make sure that we have that not only at Fairfax, obviously in Alexandria, which is outside the county, but the ability to get care there in Springfield and Franconia is something that we deeply value, because we know that those folks, we have as much responsibility to as anybody anywhere in the country. It's also part of what I'm proud of, you know, in our role in the community. We take care of everybody. We do not take care of just certain people. We take care of everybody.
You know, the day that you broke ground on both facilities was an interesting day, because Jeff McKay, chairman of the board, Supervisor Rodney Luss made opening comments, and later in that day, you were with the city, the mayor of Alexandria, my counter, Justin Wilson, who is no longer the mayor, is now Aaliyah Gaskins, and Jim Parajan. And the joke of the day was who you went to first. And obviously, since Fairfax is bigger than Alexandria, you were with us first. I just want to make sure everybody on this podcast heard me say that. So I'm going to see, I'm going to probably get some flack from my friend Jim Parajan. But, you know, it is about relationships. It is about partnership. It didn't really matter who was first. It's about how do we serve us all. So under your leadership, I'm happy to say that.
I appreciate it. And, you know, right now we got cranes up on that Springfield site. It's going like crazy. We've got about 300 people a day working there, which we find value in creating those jobs for our community as well.
Well, as you know, the chairman of the board, Jeff McKay, serves on the Inova Board of Trustees, and the Fairfax Board of Supervisors is a primary partner in not only your development, but in supporting healthcare issues in our community. How does your team connect and engage with our county leadership? And you got to make sure you don't include me and you, because that's not for this podcast, okay? That's for a different podcast.
Fair. I think it's really important to recognize that partnership. If you think about it. So, for example, we have, and by the way, Chairman McKay came to our event a few months ago where we had squads from all across the region, including, I think, hopefully all the Fairfax County folks that provide that emergency care, came in, and we did modeling to help them be most prepared in those moments of crisis. So whether it be massive blood transfusion or any of the other pieces that in the field mean the difference between whether you make it to the hospital or not, to know that we have those folks who do provide the emergency care most prepared, so that once they hit our doors, we know that we can indeed perform the miracles. But if we don't get that chance to perform the miracles, that's a partnership that really matters. And making sure that those folks really are able to stay at the top of their game, whether it be something straightforward or when those most tragic things happen, which we know they do in our field.
You know, speaking about that, you know, we look at the financial assistance and support is so vital for our community hospitals and healthcare. Tell us about Inova's Supporting Community Partners Program and like the Community Health Opportunities Grants. How does that work for you and our citizens?
I'd say make a couple of comments. One is that on the financial assistance, we actually have, to our knowledge, the most generous financial assistance in the country. You know, at 400% of federal poverty level, we actually take, of course, if you have insurance or Medicaid, we want to be compensated for our care. But we actually write off everything for those 400% and below that of federal poverty level. So again, we take care of our community regardless of their ability to pay. We actually do two other things that relate to the second part of your question. One is in social drivers of health, and people sometimes talk about social determinants of health, and I actually don't like that term. It's the more common term. But if things are determined, then we probably shouldn't spend time trying to change it. These things aren't determined. So making sure that for whoever you are, we give you the best chance of health outcome. The second is that we actually are very intentional and focused at Inova. And although many organizations try to do everything for everybody, we made clear we'll provide care for everybody. Have no doubt anybody in this community should have doubt about that. But there are organizations, both government and private, that actually do really meaningful work in our community for a number of the pieces that's not Inova's expertise. So we actually fund $1 million a year to those organizations, not just willy-nilly, okay? We're not buying t-shirts for softball teams. We're contributing money to others who are going to make an impact in the organization greater than we would have with that same amount of money. We're glad to do that because it makes our community better, and it makes our community partners be able to do the things that we know they can do better.
So when you look at the Northern Virginia Health Workforce Collaborative, you know, if you wanted to provide some insight for the folks listening, what would you want to say about that?
It's important that we want to be the convener. We're not the educator, but we can bring together folks so that they can prepare people for healthcare careers, whether they be, you know, seniors in high school or college students, but also those younger children especially. So we have so many, you know, let me take a step back. So many people want to know what a doctor is, you know what a nurse is, but when you're in 10th grade, you don't know what a respiratory therapist is or someone who works in the pharmacy. By the way, on the morning that we're recording this, I was able to go over and thank a woman who was celebrating her 55th year working in our pharmacy at Inova. So that's, you know, we talk about workforce, keeping that continuity of care, people make better teams, and we provide that better care. But we want to be the convener so that regardless of all those roles, not just doctors and nurses, that we have children in our community have the opportunity to do what we believe is deeply meaningful work in healthcare.
Well, you know, I just want to say thank you for that statement and thank you for all you do on that topic, because we're working hand in foot with you on our workforce development programs that we're going forward. And I believe we're going to be seeking your help to again, respiratory therapy, nobody knows what that is. They know what a doctor is, but we are looking at folks in our community who may have had that type of job elsewhere to get them certified here. So again, we're working with you to do that with many of the individuals here in Fairfax County. And I thank you for that.
You're very welcome. It goes back to partnership, Brian. We need those folks who have those skills. And we don't have people in our community who have those skills. We need to work together with the right folks, whether it be the public schools or the universities around, to make sure that we've got that workforce. Because if we're honest with ourselves, about the only segment in society in which there's really significant job growth is in healthcare. And it's that our community needs that job growth because our community needs that care.
Now, you know, as you know, I'm a kind of a tech nerd, geek, whatever you want to call it. You know, we're doing a lot of things that are innovative here in Fairfax County as it relates to AI. And, you know, Inova was the first in the nation to achieve the Joint Commission's Responsible Use of Health Data certification. What is that, and what does it mean for the residents of Fairfax County? Because, in my view, you guys are very special, and you are very special to the folks and our residents here in Fairfax. But that cutting edge is where we are heading, because technology is an augmentation of what we do, and we have to be good at it. So what is it that you're doing with Inova to allow our residents to continue moving forward?
Well, first, I'm real proud of the fact that we are the first certified for the responsible use of health data, because we're in the trust business. Very few people in this community don't ultimately have some of your confidential information in our records. So we take that very seriously. We would take it seriously anywhere in the nation's capital region. We know that indeed there are bad actors who want access to our data. So we take very seriously that if you trust us to your care, you need to know that we're gonna do everything we can to uphold your privacy and your confidentiality. So being the first certified for that, we're very proud of. On the technology, and I smiled when you talked out about technology and the people piece, I think is how you phrase it. Because indeed, our care at Inova is a combination of technology to take away the things that human beings shouldn't be doing or perhaps aren't deeply rewarding, because I want us to focus on what matters most to our patients, focus on you as a human being and what you need for your care. And the technology, the combination, we believe in allows us to do that better. And I'll give you an example. We actually, our doctors, everybody knows that we don't like doctors who are looking at computers instead of at patients.
Yeah.
we put technology in at this point where many, many, several hundred of our doctors now are rolling out across the system everywhere possible, can look you in the eye and have a conversation with you, and our technology will create the documentation that's required for the continuity of your care. It'll create that. The doctor can look at it. If they agree, they simply sign it, as opposed to go in and spend a lot of time typing instead of caring for you as an individual.
Wow. You guys are getting into a lot of good stuff. And you know, like Fairfax County, we're getting into these different spaces. You know, we're developing our own AI platform. The Coalition to Advance the County Role is a leader in that space. We appreciate Inova being part of the discussion through our Council of Economic Opportunity Group, and I really thank you for sending you sometimes and or your folks into that group, because it is a space where we have leaders talking and collaborating and moving forward, and we do talk about relationship building. How do you see AI affecting not just healthcare, but this community?
At the end of the day, it's going to be transformational. I don't think we should have any doubt about that. And, you know, remember 10 and 15 years ago, people talked about AI as kind of like magic. And we knew that at some point the technology would get there and all likelihood change things. We are there. We're not close to it. We are there. I've mentioned some things we're doing in healthcare. We've got AI in multiple aspects of our care, from how we do our operations. I mentioned how we provide more compassionate care. AI is part of our business at this point in the healthcare space. As far as in community, let's face it. I actually this morning used part of my navigation system on my vehicle to get over here to the office. That's AI, you know, that's AI. So it's not that it's magic. It's actually technology that's powered by data to help you do meaningful things. And what we don't do at Inova is get hung up on the shiny things. We want to do the things that'll actually make a difference in either your lives, our patients, or in our team members' lives, so they can take better care of our patients.
Keyword, human being, right?
Keyword.
All right, I get it. So we're
all we are at Inova. We're just the people.
We are the people, and that's what we are in Fairfax County, as a great partnership. But you know, as we're entering the fall and winter seasons, how does the change in seasons affect our blood donations? And we need those.
We really do, and it's interesting. Most people think you need blood donations just if you have a car wreck and you have bleeding, okay? We actually need significant blood just for those patients who have cancer and their blood counts go down. People who have gastrointestinal bleeding, or certainly people who cut themselves and bleed. And unfortunately, the blood supply is not something you can put in a manufacturing somewhere. It's us. So I am a blood donor, and I hope that many of your viewers or listeners will be blood donors, because we're taking care of ourselves, okay? So that when we have a car wreck, someone actually came in and made that donation to make sure that your life is saved. One of the surprises I got when I came to Inova is we actually have the largest blood donor program, hospital-based blood donor program in the country.
Wow.
60 years old, and we were recognized by their organization this year for that. So the fact that we have our own blood donor services gives us more ability to assure that we can take care of our community. But what happens, you mentioned, in the winter, or sometimes in the summer when people go on vacation, or sometimes people, if they have a flu and cold season, they just don't show up.
Yeah.
You know, the blood supply literally can't be built up. It only has a certain duration. So I encourage all of our listeners to know that it's your family. When you give blood, it's your family. You're probably giving it back to it. I'm proud to be an Inova blood donor.
Awesome. I guess I need to come donate my blood with you as
well.
I can
get you an appointment, I promise.
I hope so. I'm going to hold you to that, okay? We're starting to go into fall. I mean, the weather is not really fall weather-like, but it's getting there, and then we're going to come into winter. You know, flu season is upon us. Let's talk a little bit about the flu season.
Well, it's interesting. As we were planning for this, I thought, well, we're not going to be in flu season, but I literally earlier today started getting the first data to show that we are starting to come into that. We're starting to see those patients come in with not only flu, but respiratory syncytial virus. And although we're not in the COVID pandemic, we have COVID, absolutely. And COVID is still a lethal disease that we should not underestimate the reality of. So I think it's really important at this point to realize it's not now coming, it's here. So if you haven't had your flu shot, please go. If you haven't had a COVID shot, please go. We recognize there's been some controversy on that topic. Inova has no equivocation on. We do have great clarity that vaccines save lives. Or let me take back. Vaccinations save lives, actually getting it in. And so the retail pharmacies are there. Our primary care offices have those vaccines. And so please do that to protect not only yourself, but the rest of the folks around you.
Well, you heard it from Dr. Jones. Please get your COVID shots. Please get your flu shots. And, you know, we need to understand that it is a choice, but please do make that choice that impacts all, because that choice does impact all. And finally, now I want to talk to you about Honor Your Caregiver. It's an effort recognizing ANOVA nurses. And in your opinion, why is this so important?
Well, it's interesting. I'll go back early in my career. So I'm a cancer surgeon, I like to say by birth. And early in my career, I've had this interaction. Someone, after I would operate on them, say, "Thank you, Dr. Jones, for saving my life." And my thought is, "Oh, no, it's my job." Or, "Oh, no, no, it's no big deal." And what I kind of at some point embraced is, it is a big deal. You saved their life. You can't tell them that's not a big deal. You cured their cancer. And so it's our opportunity to allow people to say things in a meaningful way. Not only the message, many of our donors come directly from that, of wanting to support the work that does save the life. I had the opportunity this morning to walk through our emergency department with someone who knew that that was the emergency department their children go to, and so they want to support that. But it really is thanking those folks who make a difference. I've had, you know, my mom passed a couple of months ago, and she was in the care of our incredible folks at ANOVA. For me to be able to thank them from the depths of my heart, you know, that meant a lot to me. Mm-hmm. I hope it meant something to them. But as the son, that meant a lot to me. So we do want to let people have the opportunity to thank those who make a difference, people that sometimes I'll never hear about. But when our folks let us know about it, then we know about it, and we can thank those people who create the miracles that happen at ANOVA every single day.
Well, I just want to say your leadership is steadfastly the one of the things that I look at on a daily basis. And when I need help, you're always there. So I really appreciate that. Dr. J. Stephen Jones, President and CEO of ANOVA, thanks for being here with us today. Still to come, a new employee spotlight feature of the podcast called Connect with the Gang. And this month, we're connecting with Allison Homer with the Office of Environmental and Energy Coordination. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. And Dr. J. Stephen Jones, thank you for this opportunity once again.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate your leadership and the partnership that we have, both the leaders of the county and our folks who work for us.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
Did you know healthy communities is an area of focus in Fairfax County? Visit our website and find out how the county is shaping the future of Fairfax to become a place where all people can attain their highest level of health and well-being.
Hey, welcome back to Connect with County Leaders podcast. It's time now for our employee spotlight segment, Connect with the Gang with Allison Homer, Program Manager with the Office of Environmental and Energy Coordination. Allison, welcome, and how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you know, Allison, you've been doing some great things. One example is the AC Rescue Program. It directly serves vulnerable populations in need. How does that program align with Fairfax County's One Fairfax policy?
Absolutely. So the AC Rescue Program provides small AC units to homes in need that otherwise would be dangerously hot, especially in the summertime. And as temperatures rise, that's becoming increasingly important. So heat-related illnesses in Fairfax County are not spread evenly throughout the county. Not everyone can afford AC at home or has AC at home. And those burdens are not evenly shared. So for example, non-US citizens are 20 times more likely to die from heat-related illnesses. And our Black population makes up 9.7% of our population, but 16.7% of heat-related illnesses. So the burden is not evenly shared across the county. And AC Rescue is a program that helps to close that gap and make sure that everyone has a safe and cool environment at home.
So we're talking about the equitable distribution of services that we provide in Fairfax County to ensure all residents live in a great place.
Absolutely.
And you, as well as your entire team and John Morrill, are looking at five topics as we move forward into fiscals 27, 28, and 29 to ensure that we support One Fairfax and we support the equitable distribution to ensure that we live in a public, well, I should say a healthy community.
Yes, sir. Okay. That's absolutely right.
Well, the countywide strategic plan prioritizes community health and housing and neighborhood livability. How does the AC Rescue Program play a role in advancing these countywide goals?
Yes. Yeah, so in terms of health, heat is by far the most dangerous natural hazard in the United States. Heat causes more casualties than hurricanes, flooding, wind storms, winter storms, tornadoes combined. So it's just off the charts in terms of casualties. But it's known as the silent killer because it's not as visible mm-hmm. as a flood or a tornado. So it often goes unseen, underreported. But those heat-related illnesses are increasing as our temperatures increase, and especially as our hot nights increase. Mm-hmm. So for example, in 1962, we only had 3 nights the whole year that stayed above 70 degrees Fahrenheit. Last year, we had 43 hot nights, so it went from 3 to 43. So as temperatures increase, and then we have the urban heat island effect on top of that, where our urbanized areas of the county are physically much hotter than the areas that have ample green space and forested area. It's increasingly important to make sure that people have access to air conditioning and a safe, cool environment at home.
Excellent, excellent. And you know, as we are working for Fairfax County, our board has been incredibly generous and consistent with support for initiatives that protect public health and promote equity. How has the board helped enable the successes of this program?
We are very grateful that the board has been supportive of AC Rescue and Resilient Fairfax more broadly. AC Rescue is one strategy in the Resilient Fairfax plan and program. Specifically, Supervisor Lusk joined us on site at Harmony Place during the pilot last year when we installed 29 homes at the Harmony Place Mobile Home Park. Supervisors Palchik and Stork have also been supportive, along with all members of the board have been very supportive of AC Rescue and the work that we're trying to do.
Yeah, we've actually have a director of mobile home manufactured housing that is also supporting those areas because we do have a high concentration of manufactured housing in the county. And with you and the Board of Supervisors, we're looking at ensuring that they live in a safe and healthy place. So I want to say thanks again for that. Can you share a story or example of how the rescue program has made a tangible difference in the lives of residents, especially those facing the financial or health-related challenges?
Absolutely. We've had the privilege of meeting dozens of wonderful families through the AC Rescue program, and all of their stories and faces stick with me. So there was one family that there was a 3-year-old and the home was so hot when I visited on a 100-degree day that when we went inside, it was even hotter inside than the 100-degree day outside. There was a family with 2 toddlers who, same thing, their home was so hot inside that they were sitting outside on an extreme heat day. There was a pregnant mother with 2 elementary school children who had gone multiple years without AC. I can't imagine being pregnant in August during extreme heat, having no AC at home. All of those families, despite the clear dire need before AC Rescue, were ineligible for cooling help. So those are just 3 examples of families that we've helped through the AC Rescue program. They now have a home that is at a safe temperature. So they can sleep well, they can not have to worry about heat-related illnesses, the kids can focus better on their homework. It's just a much better situation.
It's such a wide thing. So many things happen when you're comfortable.
Absolutely.
You can do so many other things and be even more productive, so it's a key. When you look at AC Rescue, and what are the long-term goals and other strategies that you're moving forward with?
We are continuously working to scale up AC Rescue because we know the demand is very high. So we're always looking to serve more homes and then also serve more types of AC situations. So right now, we've been predominantly focusing on small AC installations mm-hmm. like window AC units mm-hmm. and portable AC units. There's a very high demand for repairs of central AC. So someone might have a centralized HVAC system, but it hasn't worked in 10 years. So we're looking to shift some of our funding, if possible, more to the repair side so that we can serve more households in that situation.
So I just want to make sure you know this. I'm going to bring you back in a couple months to talk about the winter, because as we transition from summer to winter, we have mm-hmm. other issues and other opportunities in the winter.
Yes.
But I want to thank you for all you do for Fairfax County and all you do for the Board of Supervisors and all you do for everybody that touches what you do. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Connect with County Leaders podcast. My thanks to Allison Homer for joining me, as well as Dr. Stephen Jones, President and CEO of Innova. And thanks to you for joining us. I look forward to talking with you again next month on another episode of Connect with County Leaders podcast. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
This has been the Connect with County Leaders podcast with Fairfax County Executive Brian Hill. To listen to other great Fairfax County podcasts, visit fairfaxcounty.gov/podcasts. And for additional audio content, tune in to Fairfax County Government Radio at fairfaxcounty.gov/radio. For more Fairfax County news and event information, visit News Center online at fairfaxcounty.gov/news. The Connect with County Leaders podcast is produced by the Fairfax County, Virginia government.